This is the Goozer Nation podcast for the week of December 9th of 2013.
The Amstrad 464 is the 64K home computer with a monitor and data recorder included. From around $429, only our competitors aren't having fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Goozer Nation podcast. My name is John Meadows. With me as always is Eric Kubik and Nathaniel Fuller. How's it going, guys?
Hello, it's going good.
Yeah, not bad.
Good. Everybody keeping warm today. I don't know what it's like out in the Pacific Northwest, but it's cold
here.
It's
cold.
Is it?
It's
okay.
It's cold like everywhere. It's like 20 and 30s. Chilly.
Okay, well, that's what it is here. Just no snow.
Yeah. So. Well, the way things are going here, give it another couple days and we'll be like 70s or something.
Yeah, again, like it was Friday. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's been going up and down. Like ever since October, it's like it'll be like warm and it'll be cold 2 days later and it'll be warm again 2 more days later. It's ridiculous.
I'm still waiting on my foot of snow, so just to watch everybody flip out in North Carolina. But anyhow.
They flip out at a snowflake.
They do. They really do.
Wondering what's going to go on.
That is true. But anyway, good to be back. We took the week off the other last weekend because of the holiday. I was out of town, and I figured everybody wanted to spend time with family and friends and things. So, but we're back. Got a lot to talk about this week.
I had to work.
Oh, do you have to work? That sucks. That sucks bad. I was actually off, but. I won't talk about that since you had to work. That's not right.
No.
I had to work Friday, but I didn't have to work Thursday.
No, I was off Friday, thank goodness, because I didn't want to get out in that out in that madness. But, of course, you were out way early in the morning. Because, well, I guess everybody else probably was, too.
Yeah, but I'm not anywhere that anybody's doing Black Friday stuff.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I bought most of my stuff.
It'd be weird, you know, Black Friday at the hospital. Wait a minute. No, it was more like on Friday, no one was there. Like, literally, not even the person at the front desk I normally see when I'm delivering at the place I go to all the time. It was like, they weren't there. It was just like, ghost town.
So that's the time to go to the hospital is on Black Friday if you have to go. Is that what you're saying?
I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
You don't have to wait in line anyway. I didn't get anything, I don't think, on Black Friday. Killer is Dead for $20 on Amazon.
I had something delivered on Black Friday. It happened to come to my door that day.
Yeah, I saw your pictures on Twitter. It looked really awesome. I guess we can go ahead and talk about. I guess we can go ahead and talk about what you're playing. We'll let Nathaniel go so he can tell us all about what I got.
We should let you guys go first because I got a whole bunch of stuff.
John, why don't you go first?
I haven't played a whole lot. Assassin's Creed 4 on the PS4, which is really good. And the longer I play that game and the more I get into it, the more I really like it. I didn't think it would be that fun just to, you know, be a pirate, but you know what it is? It's kind of cool.
I heard if you dislike Assassin's Creed 3 and you did not like it, you will still like Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah.
A lot of people have really liked Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah. And if you liked Assassin's Creed 3, you'll still like Assassin's Creed 4 because I'm loving it.
I liked Assassin's Creed 3. Yeah. I know a lot of people didn't, but I did. But it's just the
thing with this one is the tone is a lot more kind of. Goofy is the wrong word. It's a lot lighter in tone, though.
Well, that.
A lot more swashbuckly because of the pirate nature.
That and you're an assassin. But you're not in it. But you're not in it. Yeah, but you're
a pirate. Buttload of hours of this game done. I'm still not an assassin.
Yeah,
technically.
I mean, you know, and I don't know how far in what sequence are you on. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I think I'm in the middle of sequence 4. Maybe
okay.
I don't.
Well, you're not. I'm not too far ahead of you. I mean, I think I just started 5. So, you know, I'm not real far ahead. But it's like you're more of a pirate, but you still have the assassin stuff. It's kind of weird. It's like it wants to be two games.
Yeah, I just found my new, what I assume is this first game's home base. So, like, the place that you upgrade and stuff over time and all that stuff. I just got this game's version of that, and then now I'm sailing around the ocean some more.
Right. Yeah, but like,
oh, look, there's some, you know, sharks or whales to go harpooning. Or, oh, look, let's go blow that ship up. I keep getting distracted by stuff.
Or my favorite one, you're just, like, on a boat, or you just see a boat out there burning, and you just go over, and, you know what, I'm going to take this boat and kill everybody on it. Why not? You know, it's like, but that's what I end up doing more and more. What's cool is, and if you have the an iPad, and I don't know if it's on the Android pad or the phone, but the Black Flag app, companion app that goes with the game, it'll actually sync up with the game, and you can use it as a map and mark things on it. But you can also, and it shows up in game.
You can also do your fleet, don't you?
Yes, you can do your fleet that way. So when you're in game or you're away from the game, you don't have to go into your cabin and do all the stuff. You can just do it right there on the screen. The only thing you have to go in your cabin for is to collect your money. So that's what I end up doing more than anything, is sending my ships out. Sending my fleet out to do things. I think I got 8 or 9 ships in my fleet. And I just, I just keep piddling with
and then,
that.
And then the ships would just go out on missions, right?
Yep.
Like your Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which is the last one I really got into. I mean, I played Revelations a little bit, but I got mad because I kept running out of money.
Yeah.
And no. I didn't even open up Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, this one's, it's just like that. You just send them out and you do missions and stuff like that with them. Send them on.
As a countdown timer, they come back and bring you stuff.
Yeah, bring money and
gold. But good Lord, mine, the countdown timer is so long for some of those. Like, I've gotten like about 3 or 4 routes opened up, and the 3rd or 4th one is like, yeah, this is going to take 8 hours.
Oh, dude, I've
and
got...
go faster if you play with friends. I was like, okay, how do I do that?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because...
And my problem is I don't have any friends connected to it, because I got it on Uplay, so it doesn't even go to, like, my Steam's list, so I don't know if I have to find some weird thing where you'll add them in or whatever. It doesn't really matter too much.
I wondered if it would go through the Uplay, you know, because I mean that's what the app on the iPad goes through too. It goes through Uplay. I wonder if you have people on your. Do you have a Uplay friends list? I never looked that close at it before.
I don't know because I've only ever played like Far Cry 3.
Yeah, I'm playing on PC.
I don't have
so
my iPad here, so.
And, you know, people complain about Uplay. Sorry to go off tangent, but I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's no worse than Origin.
Well, the only thing I've done it before this was just on consoles stuff and previous titles to get all your random Uplay points, and then I happened to remember the login and password, so I was able to, when I set it up for the PC thing, that I remembered it, so I got all those points so I could unlock some stuff.
Right. I mean,
if I wanted to already, because I already had the points.
Right, yeah, I did too. But yeah, I mean, I need to look into that, because if you've got a list and it doesn't matter what console they're on, then we can just add each other to the list. That'd be the way to do it. Because some of the ones
that would be cool. I don't know how that works.
I think I've unlocked all the trade routes except one, and some of them you get up there and they're like 15 hours that they take, like the ones down in South America, but they give you the most gold or whatever, you know. But, you know, it's like, geez, 15 hours. Well, let me set this and then I'll check it tomorrow when I get home from work. Maybe it'll be done then. But I'm really digging it, though. It's really fun. In fact, I want to go play it right now. What are we talking about?
I played it for about almost 8 hours straight yesterday.
Yeah, I would have, but I
was playing really late.
I wanted to play. I wanted to try Gran Turismo 6. So the Redbox had it, so I went and rented it last night and played it for a little while. And it's okay. It's Gran Turismo. What I figured it was. And then,
which means I will never, ever, ever play it.
Right.
And then, like racing games.
Then, I got one of the Elgato game streamers, gaming stream things, from somebody off of Craigslist. And, I've streamed, was testing the streaming out with it and, on the PlayStation 3, and was playing, Batman, Arkham Origins for like 2 or 3 hours last night. So nice. I've almost beat that game, so it's kind of like, well, crap, I might as well go ahead and finish it.
It's pretty buggy too, right?
I haven't seen too many bugs in it. Every once in a while, you get kind of something janky, like you walk up to something and it'll say, press the X button. You press the X button and it doesn't do anything. It disappears. And then you have to, like, walk back and try to hit it again. It's just little things like that I've seen. There's been a couple things.
Could be messing with you. Press the X button and then you do it.
It could be.
Press the circle button. Press the square.
Sucker. And there's been a couple times where, like, some of the bad guys have been stuck in walls and things like that, but nothing like to break gameplay, though, I didn't think.
Yeah.
The story is really good. I think as far as the story goes, I think it's better than any of the Batman games they've had out. And I liked I liked Arkham City.
Really?
Well, I liked Arkham Asylum a lot.
Arkham Asylum is, like, so good.
Yeah, and Arkham...
I just played that recently, and it's like, yes, I still love this game.
You know, it's just funny, because this one's, like, you're 2 years into Batman's thing, so
everything's still new. Well, is Origins more focused on one villain, or is it split it up a lot?
It's split up a lot.
That Arkham City for $10 today.
Because that is why I like Asylum better. It's much more focused.
Well, you know, so far it's been so focused on the Joker... And now it's kind of turned focus to somebody else. So
when I heard the game had a lot of bugs too, like you'd mentioned, like a ton of stuff. I was watching a couple reviews, just random junk.
I don't know. It might just be kind of hit or miss with anything with bugs. And plus, it's probably like, oh, it has a bit more than what the other ones did, and it's a different developer, so people are picking on it a bit.
Right.
But compared to, like, a bunch of other games, then it's probably fine.
I haven't seen, like I said, I haven't seen too many bugs in it, but I've probably only put maybe 7 or 8 hours into it, you know. But I've got to be getting close to the end of it, just by what happened in the story last night. Which I won't say, but, you know, I mean, it's got to be getting close to the end, but... I like it, though. I like it a lot. And it may be... I think I like it better than Arkham City. I like the openness of Arkham City, but I didn't like the fact that the story was just kind of like, really? You build a prison in the middle of the city? Really?
Well, they do have precedent for it.
Oh, I know.
There's
but...
stuff from comics that's like, yeah. I mean, whatever. It's a superhero thing.
Yeah.
They're never really that... super realistic.
I just didn't care for the story of Arkham City as much as I liked. I liked the gameplay of it, but I just didn't care for
the gameplay is really good.
Well, take Arkham City gameplay and give it a better story, and that's just what you get with Arkham Origins. So, but that's all I've been playing. What have you been playing, Eric?
Just Lego Marvel.
How far have you got in it?
The stage where Loki's the boss.
I think it's... I don't know how
far I'm
at.
It's like the fifth or sixth stage. That's probably one game I won't upgrade to PS4 because it's like, well, I'm going to get a little bit better game. It's going to look a little bit better.
Yeah, it's going to be more shiny. It's going to be very shiny.
I don't really care that much. And I'm getting pissed off again because with all the Lego games, I get mad because the collector in me is like, ooh, let's get everything. And I realize, but I can't do this in this stage. I need to come back as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And, I need to find the ultimate character. Like in Lego Batman 2, Superman was a good character because he could fly, heat vision, he could freeze things. It's very versatile. I don't know if there's really that sort of character in the Marvel universe, unless you've gotten further and you want to enlighten me. Is there a character that can fly, has fire, ice, and magnetic abilities?
That's no.
Great. And possibly claws.
No. Just
no.
No, not all in one. No. I'm trying to think of who I got that flies.
The big characters are fun, though, like Hulk and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hulk is hilarious. Yeah, I really like Hulk. He cracks me up. Especially when you try to build something as Hulk and he goes, Hulk fail. That just cracks me up. Makes me laugh. But yeah, that's one I wouldn't worry about upgrading to PlayStation 4 because it's not that much. And plus, I don't think your game save will carry over, so you'd have to start over anyway. So.
Yeah, but Assassin's Creed 3, I took advantage of that deal and I had promo credit, so I got it for like $7 or $8 on Amazon.
Mm.
So I'm going to take advantage of the $10 upgrade.
Oh yeah, and it's worth it. It's worth it. Well, I tweeted out a picture of just how far you can freaking see today on
that
game.
Saw that.
And it's amazing how much farther you can see on the PlayStation 4 version than the 3. I mean, a lot of the graphics are better with the leaves and the trees and the water and the textures and stuff like that. But still, just the field of view is just amazing how far you can see. And I'm sure the PC version is probably like that too. You can probably see forever in a day.
I can tell from some of the footage, the the distance you can see is about the same.
Yeah. Because what they did on the PlayStation 3 version, they just filled it with a lot of fog, so you couldn't see real far. Yeah. It was kind of weird looking.
Which still exists.
Yes, it does.
But for a purpose. Like, man, there was this one time I was sailing around, and it was kind of like sunrise, a foggy morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty awesome looking. You got the storms, like just the, a lot in that game with weather that's subtle.
That was exactly what I was going to say because they have different
colors of light from morning to evening and all this stuff that makes it really nice. And just the water's different too, depending on where you're sailing at. And I haven't even gone everywhere yet.
Well, that's what I was going to say with the storms. I mean, you know, if you're out on the ocean and there's no land anywhere near, you could see these storms rolling in. You can see the lightning and the clouds from far off. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, it's coming this way. Quick, I got to turn before it. Try to outrun the weather. I mean, it's really
cool. I'm trying to
cool.
think what else I'm interested in. I'm not really interested in Knack on the PS4. No offense.
I'm going to try it. I've got it coming eventually.
I'm not interested in Injustice because I already played it.
Right,
I
mean, I'm not either.
I'm interested in Battlefield 4, and I might be interested in Ghosts, and I might be interested enough in NBA 2K14. But there's just not – besides that, there's not really
– well.
And there's not that many games coming out in the first couple of months of 2014, too.
What was it? I finally got... Okay, this is a funny story because I feel like such an idiot. But, okay, so, you know, I had the terabyte hard drive for the PlayStation 4. I bought it in advance. And when the PlayStation 4 came, the working PlayStation 4 came, I popped it in, had the firmware on the jump drive. That hard drive wouldn't work. So I'm like, great. It must not be compatible with it. Well... A buddy of mine, he bought a hard drive for his. He's like, oh, it's a gig and a, or a terabyte and a half. It was like on sale for like $120. I was like, okay, get me one too. I'll pay you for it. Okay. So he got it over Thanksgiving. I was actually on my way out of town, and he calls and he's like, I did everything it said, but it doesn't work. I'm like, we know this works. Why doesn't it work? Well, come to find out that the 1.5.1 software that was downloading from Sony's site sometimes would not fully download. So it was supposed to be like a 760 gig file. Every time I would download it, it would only download 305 megs of it.
Okay.
That is why the first hard drive I had wouldn't work, because it wasn't fully downloading the firmware. So when he brought his thumb drive over and said, here, this is the full thing, it worked like a charm. So I ended up putting that terabyte hard drive in my PlayStation 3, because I'd already had him buy that terabyte and a half for the PlayStation 4. So, but yeah, it's weird. It's just, I don't know if it's traffic on the website or if it's just problems with Sony's website, but you have to download, because it's not like the PlayStation 3 where it keeps the firmware on the actual system. You have to have a jump drive with the firmware on it to install the new hard drive. So now I've got like a terabyte and a half in there, and I went ahead.
I wonder if that's going to continue to be that, because they should eventually fix this where
it's
stored on the system.
I don't know.
I'm downloading the update right now. I'm going to throw it on a flash drive.
Yeah. Make sure it's huge. It's got to be more than 300 and some things, or it won't fully download. But you don't have to do it It'll do it wirelessly. Yeah, it'll do it streaming. So
wirelessly, I'm hardwiring that bad boy.
Oh, mine's wireless. I don't have it hardwired. I do not have it hardwired, and it works just fine. Even the Twitch stream works perfectly on it. Wirelessly.
I think I used my PS3 a couple times wirelessly, and the connection was fine, but I just preferred the hardwired because it's right next to the router anyway.
Well, see, and mine was in the living room, so I never had a hardwired connection to it. So, but yeah.
So I should buy a bigger hard drive. How much did you pay for that?
$120.
$120 for that? Was that the terabyte?
That was a terabyte and a half.
Might be worth getting into. But then again, I didn't fill my 120 gigabyte PS3
hard
drive.
Well, okay, let me tell you this. I had a 500 gig hard drive in the one that came with it. I bought Lego Marvel, Assassin's Creed, Battlefield 4. Then I downloaded Wireframe because it was free. I downloaded DC Online because it was free. And then the two free PlayStation Plus games, Contrast and Resogun.
Resogun, yeah.
That took half the hard drive. It was like 258 gigs, I think, is what it took up. Something like that. So, I mean,
I can see.
And if you buy one more game, like I bought Killzone, it's 45 gigs install on it.
Holy crap!
Yeah. It's 45 gigs install. Battlefield was 27.
Yeah, Battlefield on PC is 30, a little over 30, so.
I forget what Assassin's Creed is, so like 21.
Still a laptop drive, right?
Yep.
Size?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is. It can't be.
RPM size, 7200.
They say it doesn't. I bought a 5400 because there's not much speed difference in it when it comes to loading games. As long as it's less than 9 millimeters thick, it has to be less thin. It has to be thinner than that, or it won't fit in there. Which is okay because I got the maximum. That terabyte and a half was as thick as it could be, and it fit in there just fine. But I don't think you can buy anything bigger in a laptop hard drive right now than a terabyte and a half. I don't think they make a two. Not yet, anyway.
Here's a 1 terabyte drive, laptop drive, SATA 6.0, but it's it's expensive. Yeah. $130.
Dang. Shoot, for that one. I'll send you the link to the one I bought on Amazon.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's super easy to do. And instead of buying Killzone hard disk wise, I just bought the download of it because it's the exact same size. So I was like, what's the point of buying a disk if I've got to download the whole thing anyway? And Killzone's okay. It's a pretty game, but
that's what I've heard on it. And
you don't necessarily recommend it.
Well,
like, it looks pretty, but it's terrible. That's what I've heard on it. Not like I've played it.
I think I'm growing out of first-person shooters. FPSs. I think so, because every one of them I play, I just go, it's okay.
I wonder. Back to the hard drive, sorry. Yeah. I wonder if a hybrid drive would make a difference.
I don't know. IGN did a test with different drives and speeds, and it was, it was so close, I don't think I would ever notice the difference in speed. But
distracted us. Continue.
Oh,
with your story.
No, you're Killzone. Fine. You're fine. Killzone. It's okay. I mean, it was an all right game.
I like Killzone 3. I played through the story and I enjoyed the multiplayer, so it's potential that I could enjoy.
Yeah,
it, right?
You'll probably like it then. See, I didn't care for 3.
I listened to a few podcasts and read some reviews and things of that talked about Killzone, and there's been some people who are like Killzone a lot that they're even kind of on the game. So
it is.
They're like, it looks really, really pretty.
It does.
Because, you know, they can push a lot of the fun graphics and things, but as far as gameplay goes, it's kind of okay at best is all I've heard on. That's what I've heard of, you know, launch titles. That's what a lot of them are, is like knack. Nobody seems to really love it. Some people hate it, you know. The same with, you know, Xbox, all their launch games. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, they're some, you know, they're pretty good or, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
what do you expect? It's launch. Yeah. So they're new titles, you know, they're going to get better over time as far as both graphics and, you know, being able to push out better games.
But I mean, really, I was looking. Well, I had a bunch of stuff pre-ordered at GameStop, and I didn't pick it up because Target had the buy two, get one free, and I went in the other day to, you know, I don't cancel pre-orders on them. I just move them to something else, and it was like, well, let me take a look at the list. Okay, Thief comes out in February. That's the next game. Then
Infamous comes out pretty soon into the year.
April, I think. I think it was April. And then June.
I thought it was earlier than that for some reason.
Nah, they moved it back. And then Watch Dog in June. So it's like, okay, well, there we go. Glad I kept my PlayStation 3. At least I have some other stuff to play besides Assassin's Creed.
South Park's coming out. I mean, yeah, look at the game list for 2014 is going to be pretty limited the first quarter. That's how it always is.
Yeah,
everybody's broke after Christmas. They aren't going to put anything out.
Right. You're right. And then, you know, then Tomb Raider coming out. If it would be $40.
Definitive edition.
If it would be $40, I'd play it again, but I'm not paying $60.
What are they adding? DLC and kind of reworking a little bit for the next gen systems?
Yeah, the graphics and stuff. I mean, I would play it again if it was the right price. It's not going to be, it won't be a full price game.
Yeah, just wait till it hits bargain bin and you can play it again.
Or what if
you feel like it?
No, what if it's like, oh, you own it on PS3? Upgrade.
Yeah, they already, that'd be cool, but they already said that they weren't. So.
I mean, look at the release list besides Lightning Returns, FF13. I'm not really interested in that. There's Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2.
Mm-hmm.
Thief is coming out. It's supposed to be the reboot. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it, so.
I hope it's good.
I hope it is, too.
South Park, I'm interested in that.
Meh.
Dark Souls 2?
Yeah.
Titanfall?
No, I like Dark Souls. And I'll get Titanfall for the PC.
Yeah, me too, I think. I think it'll be pretty crummy on the 360, to be honest.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think it's going to be like a pretty second-rate game.
Yeah. And with it and that quantum theory or whatever it is, that quantum game that's coming out, that's enough to make me want to buy an Xbox One, maybe.
What about it? What about Infamous Second Son?
Yep.
There's going to be a console bundle. I almost was going to hold out for that, but I think I will pick that up.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it as well. And Watch Dogs, that's the other one I pre-ordered because it looks interesting. So,
well, if we want to rewind a bit, we can talk about what I've been.
Yes, I'm so sorry. We totally
distracted by.
We took a big turn, and now we got to bring it back. Bring it back.
Shiny new things. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. But I want to hear about your shiny new thing that you got. It looked really cool. So
yeah, like the week before Thanksgiving at Best Buy, they were doing this trade-in deal where you could bring in your old 360 or PS3 and they'd give you at least $100, which according to the person that I was working with at the desk or whatever, say that means it's $100. She'd never seen anyone get anything more than that. I'm thinking if they brought in, you know, if you brought in like one of the R2-D2 360s or something like that, that would be the only thing that would get you more.
You would think.
But in a normal system, yeah. All it had to do was, you know, boot up, turn on, that was it, and they'd give you $100 for it.
Oh,
plus they had like a double credit for games as well, so I ended up getting up a little bit more than $150 out of it.
Nice.
Took my 360 in. I still got my PS3 because it's my Netflix machine.
Yeah.
I hadn't played my 360 in a while. I was like, get some money for it. So I ended up getting those gift cards, and then I went back to Best Buy later and bought Kindle cards because they're basically Amazon gift cards.
Right.
So I wasn't sure if they'd let me or not, but no trouble.
Yeah, everybody says that they
somebody
do.
Told me to do that, so I was like, I'll try it, and it worked. So I ended up buying on Tuesday before Thanksgiving a new graphics card with that, and so a little bit of other money. So I got me a GTX 760.
I wonder if my computer could even use that. What kind of power?
Is that a, I was going to say, is that a full size graphics card or is it?
It's a slim. It's two slots. It takes up but it's like my old card took up two slots as well. But
well, I've got two cards.
I mean, as
and
far
one,
as like
two
it computer, computer it, really, it plugs into
warning,
one.
Warning, superheat.
Yeah, it plugs into just one, you know, slot in the back in the actual motherboard. But as far as the space it takes up on the back of your PC, it's kind of like two. You have to take two of the things off for it to fit.
Yeah. See, and I've got two graphics cards in mine anyway, so.
I had a 550 Ti before that, so it was quite a bit of jump in power. So I've been booting up a whole bunch of things and be like, ooh, what does this look like now? Ooh, what does this look like now?
Now what did you have before?
A 550 Ti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big jump.
I don't even know what I have in my machine.
I know what I have.
PC about 3 years ago something, and it was kind of like the part that it didn't get quite as much as what I wanted at the time, so it was already a little bit not awesome when I got it, as far as, you know, like what I spent a little bit more, could have gotten something more awesome, but it still worked pretty good. You just can't run anything at max on that one, but this one is like, ooh, I can run most games on max settings or close to it.
Sweet.
So it came with, because of the sort of holiday deals they're doing with NVIDIA cards, I got Assassin's Creed 4 and Splinter Cell Blacklist with it.
Nice. It's Blacklist.
It's like you also, if you got like a 780, their top cards, like there's two of the really expensive ones, you'd also get Batman with it, but
nice.
Those cards are way too expensive. So I just got it was like $250 on Amazon.
Wow.
And I got a big chunk of that out with the gift cards and stuff that I had. So it was
cash out of your pocket.
Plus, you know, it came in on that Friday because I have the Amazon Prime for free,
right?
Like trial that I'm going on right now for like 6 months or something. So
buddy of mine put him on his account. So.
Well, Amazon Student, but it's the Prime thing, right. So you don't get all Prime stuff with Student, but
get that 2 free-day shipping. That's all that matters.
So it came in on like Friday, Black Friday. So I was like,
my computer's barely 2 years old, and I have a Radeon 6870 1 gigabyte.
See, I'm running.
How good that is. My brother helped me put it together, and This is on one of Tom's.
Too bad, but yeah.
And it runs fine. Everything I've thrown at it runs decently.
Mine's, I built this one 3 or 4 years ago. Mine has two AMD Radeon 5670s in it. Okay. They're a gig apiece. So I do the crossfire thing.
Yeah, this one's 2 gigs of memory on this one.
Yeah.
I was playing Assassin's Creed 4 quite a bit with it because it's the one I started first over Splinter Cell, the two free ones I got, and I got sucked into it a lot. That game is so gorgeous.
Nah, I bet.
And now, are you
once you get out onto the open water and all that type of stuff, just the way that if you have the card like this one that'll run it and do all the full reflections and stuff, mm-hmm. it's so pretty.
Now, are you using a controller or are you playing keyboard and mouse?
Oh, definitely controller.
Okay.
Yeah. Anytime on PC, I use my 360 controller for sort of action adventure third person games.
Wireless.
The only thing I use it for wireless is just the ones I had with my 360.
Nice. And now, right. I'm thinking about getting one. Now here we go on another tangent. I'm thinking about getting one, and I'd have to get the dongle, right?
Yeah, and you could buy them in
a
pack.
If you have a wireless controller router, you can get. You can't get the official dongle anymore.
No.
Because they don't sell it separately, but you can get a controller with a Wi-Fi one.
It's about $40, right?
Or you can go, if you're lucky, you can find one on like eBay or somewhere, even Amazon. Sometimes you can just find a knockoff. Sometimes you can find the official one. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're lucky now, it's really hard to find them. But
knockoff
one's going to work.
What if I take a chance and get a third-party controller, like a Mad Catz?
A controller? Eh, I just go 60.
Yeah. I mean, that or you can...
Most PC games will support it now, and any of the newer ones will have, like, the user interface updates. So you turn on the controller, and bam, it has your 360 prompts on it instead of, you know, your keyboard prompts or whatever. Right. And if you use, like, a PS3 controller or any other controller, it doesn't really do that.
Well, there's a program out called DS3 Tool. And I've used it just playing with it, because I use a 360 controller on mine, too. My buddy just happened to have one of those official wireless dongles that he bought, and he never used it. And he was like, here, if you want it, you can have it. I'm like, hell yeah, because I need it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I can't find it, because I use it all the time. In fact, it's sitting here plugged in right now. But the DS3 tool actually works pretty well. It just, what you do is you could set it up to the buttons like a 360 controller, so when it goes into a game, the game just thinks it's a 360 controller. So it says, you know, you just got to remember what buttons are A, B, X, and Y, and stuff like that.
And there's other programs like that too, ones that get PS3 controllers that work, and ones that, you know, just do all that. It just depends.
My thing is just go get one of those little packages that have the 360 wireless controller and that dongle in it. Or find the dongle and go get a 360 controller, because it's to me, that's the best way to play on the PC with those games, because they all support them, like right out the box. No adjustments whatsoever. And it works good. You know, and I wonder now that the next gen's out, I wonder in a couple of years if they'll just... Yeah, if they'll go to like the Xbox One controller or something like that, or will they even?
Yeah, eventually they might switch over some stuff, but it'll take some time, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean,
just because there's not much incentive for the PC to really switch over,
right?
Yeah, because it's pretty much the same, and especially as far as what a PC would use. So it'll just be more like eventually they stop selling 360 controllers, so it just switches over by default, but it'll take some time.
Now, you probably use Battlefield, you probably use mouse and keyboard, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, like most first-person shooters, I will use mouse and keyboard for the multiplayer. There's some things like Skyrim, which isn't really a shooter, that I'll use a controller for, just because I like lounging around with it. But then there's other ones, like I started Far Cry 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using the mouse and keyboard on that so far. I've just played the first few missions on that, just enough to kind of get through the tutorial parts.
Right.
I picked it up from the Steam sale with money from selling trading cards.
Oh, nice.
Like over the last year, any random trading card or whatever since they introduced them, I've just sold them all off mostly. So it's like I had like just over $750, which is all I needed. I'll get Far Cry 3. Why not?
Yeah, I never even paid hardly any attention to the Steam sale this year.
I didn't pay much attention either, but I just happened to be on. I was like, oh, hey, I'll get that.
Yeah, really.
But so I've played that a little bit the other day. I tore myself away from Assassin's Creed for a bit. I've been playing, I started Batman Arkham City because I finished off Asylum. I'd been replaying that right before I got the card, and then it just sort of worked out that I finished it. I didn't get all the collectibles this time because I've done that before. Right. I played through that game probably about 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah, I have to.
So I started Arkham City, and boy, that game looks pretty.
Oh, I bet.
With the card on there. They have the NVIDIA's physics stuff in it. Mm-hmm. So you got a whole bunch of crazy particle stuff. And a few other things like the cloth physics are all handled by that, so it looks really nice with his cape and things. Plus, just like when you start that game, there's all the like snow in the air. It's a really cool atmosphere in that game.
Now, I know you were talking about trying out OBX to stream some stuff. Now, NVIDIA has some kind of streaming thing out now. Have you tried it?
I haven't actually tried it, and it doesn't do streaming yet. It's just recording.
Just recording. Okay. I wasn't
The cool thing about it that I need to set it up. The cool thing about it is it will do both sort of manual recording and shadow recording.
Right.
So that if you are playing, say, Battlefield and something cool happens, but you weren't recording at the time, you can be like, oh, well, crap, I'll hit this, you know, hotkey, and then it'll save out the last, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. You can set the time limit on it. I think it goes up to 20, and it's technically still in beta. This is all part of the NVIDIA experience that they've got, so that's a thing they're adding into it. It'll optimize your settings and stuff for supported games, but this is another thing they added into it is the shadow play, and it also does the streaming to their little Shield device as well as handled through this kind of software.
I'd heard about it.
So it's still in beta. They're adding stuff to it. They just did an update where now you can record your mic too. It wasn't at first. But you have to have 600 or 700 level cards for it to work.
Right. I figured.
With the NVIDIA. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. I'll probably try it out at some point because it does it. The codec, from what they're saying, it will, like, this file size seems really good because it's going to be 60 frames a second, 1080p, and this file size, I was like, wow, that's really cut down. Well, I wonder what magic they're working on it.
And somehow it works, like, through the actual game. It's not like it runs in it's hard to explain it. It runs in the background, but it's not like OBS that takes away from the processing power.
Well, yeah, see,
it runs.
Anything like that is software-based. Yeah. This is based in card.
Right.
So it's using the hardware to do this, so it's supposedly less of a hit. Now, it still hits your frame rate a little bit from what I've read on it, but again, I haven't tried it myself yet.
Yeah. I had heard somebody talking about it on another podcast, and I thought it was kind of cool, and I meant to ask you about it the other day when I saw you had the 700 series card. I was like, I wonder if you tried that yet. I was kind of curious to know what it was.
Yeah, I looked into it. I might set it up for when I'm just playing Battlefield. Oh, I wish I'd had it on the other day. So I've been playing Battlefield 4 quite a bit, and they had the China Rising DLC came out this week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which, for premium anyway, the fun DLC stuff again with premium, and then regular people get it 2 weeks later, and blah blah blah, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I get to play it. But the weird thing with this time around is the stupid Xbox having the Second Assault DLC right at when the Xbox launched, but they're the only one who has it, and we still don't know quite when everyone else gets it.
Yeah. I'd seen that they get them first for some reason. That and the Call of Duty stuff's like that too. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but with China Rising, it's pretty cool so far, but it's a little weird because the big Levolution stuff isn't in there.
Hmm.
There's no equivalent of like a giant skyscraper falling or anything. They have like, the big thing with the DLC is like they have this bomber that flies over that you can get in.
Hmm.
Like you capture a certain flag and you get into a thing and the bomber flies over and you can drop some bombs, but it doesn't really change much of anything.
Hmm.
They have a few of the smaller Levolution things in there, like the little bollard things you can raise up to block vehicles, or some of the IEDs that will blow up if you set off a control panel, stuff like that, but nothing huge. But the maps themselves are really pretty, and they're really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially the two jungle ones that come. There's like two jungles, there's like a desert, and then there's kind of a semi-snowy mountain peak. It's not super snowy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of like flurries in the air. Mm-hmm. Looks really cool, but
that's what I noticed with it on the PlayStation 4, what little bit of it I played. There's a lot of particles in the air. You can see dust, and you can see snow, and you can see this and that, but
I was playing with some friends on there, and I wished I'd had Shadow Play on because I totally would have used it, where we were flying around in a Little Bird helicopter, and I was on the side seat, mm-hmm. and I killed another helicopter with my rocket launcher, and not like a lock-on one, just like one of the manual control ones that you can... It was the wire-guided one, so I managed to get a kill with it from fairly far off. I was like, that was awesome! I wish I had recorded it.
That's hilarious.
Oh, well. See, stuff like that is what that shadow play would be awesome for.
Right, yeah.
If you're not specifically recording that, you can still get stuff.
Yeah, and see, that's what I like with the PlayStation 4. It does that, too. If you just hit the button, it records and stores, like, your last 15 minutes of gameplay or something like that. And
it's very much like that.
Apparently, there's a lot of times when I'm playing, I accidentally hit that share button and I don't realize it. Because when I go back and look at the stuff in my hard drive, it's like I have four or five movies. And I'm like, I never hit record that I remember, but I must have accidentally hit it or something. I don't know. So, but yeah, it's kind of cool because then I can just go, oh, this is awesome. Let me just put this up real quick.
Give you an idea. My new card, what it jumped up to. My old one, I had Battlefield 4 on all low settings.
Oh, wow.
And got about, you know, to get my frame rate up. I could run it a little higher, but on PC, for sure, you want to be over 30, because I could get it about 30 if I was running medium, but on all low, I could get it about 45 to 50. And now I've got it on all high settings, and it's like well above 60 somewhere.
Wow, that's awesome.
Probably about 70s, I think.
That's cool. And I would expect that out of a card of that.
So, yeah. I mean, it could be, value. You know, you can get more, throw more hardware at it and get even better than that, but that's still, it plays so much more smoothly for me.
So when do you think you'll have to upgrade again? I mean,
I don't know. It's probably going to be a while.
I would think.
Because it gets expensive, I know.
Most games aren't going to push it too much. Like, Battlefield 4 is definitely on the higher end of pushing cards at the moment, but.
Yeah, I mean, I've had these in
mind. It depends on how I can afford it or not.
Right.
Or what games are like, well, I'm used to knocking settings down if I have to, so whatever.
Well, I've had these two cards running Crossfire for at least 3 years. I'm thinking 3.5, and I've been able to run everything at max up until, well, even BioShock I could run on Ultra. I'm trying to think. Arkham City didn't run real good on the high end. I had to bump it down a little bit, but I mean, most of the stuff. So, I mean, I could stand to have a new card too, but shoot, I mean, a card like that, you should be able to run, I'd think, for another 2 or 3 years, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Unless something terrible happens and they have a huge jump in graphics, which I don't see that happening, but not with consoles right now. The console's just catching up to PC, so.
There'll be some stuff that pushes it, but it'll last me plenty of time. Yeah. I've been booting up, like I said, a bunch of different things. One other thing I put some actual time into go Skyrim again. I started up Skyrim, added a few more mods to it now that I can run it.
Oh, I bet.
Like, I added a few more of the lighting mods that I couldn't run before because they're just, you know, because they're mods, they're not quite as well optimized, so I couldn't run them before. Now I can. I put one that's quote unquote realistic lighting, which basically means it's a bit darker in the dark areas and it has a bit more variety in light color for the sort of day night cycle. Mm. But also, what it means is dynamic light sources. So if you have like a lantern that's swinging, it will actually, the shadows and stuff move.
That's pretty.
And then I add the one that's sort of an add on for that does. It's better interior lighting, so it adds some more like God rays through windows and stuff that look pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's. I bet Skyrim running at higher res looks really nice on that because the PC version looks so much better than the console version anyway. So
it's one that it was a jump, but not a super huge jump.
Yeah.
For base, just because it's pretty well optimized enough, and the high version isn't that much different as far as. Like meshes and things don't change a whole lot in there. And I'd already done some tweaks to it as well for view distance before. So my old card could run it pretty well and it was about 30. Now it's running at a higher frame rate now. So that's more the difference I'm seeing is it's a lot higher than what I was hovering right at 30 before, which for Skyrim didn't really matter too much. So it's like, that's fine. It would chug a few times when you get into heavy snowy areas or particles before. Now it runs pretty good.
Cool. New graphics cards are always good. Can't.
Oh yeah, it's so much fun. Oh, yeah. Pretty.
That's like I said. That's what I love to do when I got a new graphics card. Just go back and just boot up old games. And go, wow, look at that. Wow, look at that. Wow, look at that.
Doesn't look like crap.
Yeah. Ooh, it really did look good.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's always fun.
Yeah. But. All right, well, we'll get into some news. Not too much going on this week. Usually this is a downtime of the year. Spike did have their VGX awards ceremony last night. It was only streaming, so you had to watch it on Xbox or something.
Is there a reason why they changed it to VGX instead of just keeping the name and doing something different?
What I read, what I read was, is they took a lot of feedback from viewers on the show of the past couple of years, and a lot of people didn't like what they were doing, so they changed the name of it. They changed the format of it. I think it was
the name isn't the problem.
No, I think it was like
it's the way they do things.
Yeah, I mean it was like It was like 3.5 hours last night. The full blown thing. They had a couple of categories that were viewer voters on.
I watched maybe 30 to 45 minutes of it, and to me it seemed like the same thing. It just was a stream so that they could do more long form stuff, but just other than that it was like, hey, it's the same sort of thing.
Well, and what they did this time, they let all the
people who come in and can do interviews, which is cool,
They let all the winners know in advance that they had won, so they could send out people to be there to give speeches. So a lot of the speeches were already pre-done and things like that, because they knew weeks ahead of time that they were winning Game of the Year or they were winning, best whatever.
I saw one for Assassin's Creed 4 when it won the action adventure game category or whatever, and they had, hey, we put a cutscene from the game and re-recorded voiceover for it.
Yeah,
which actually worked pretty well because it's kind of like Edward Kenway or whatever the guy from the game is giving a speech on his ship to all of the crew, and they're all like, "Yeah!" So they just change it to, "Hey, we won the war. What? We already won it. What? Oh, okay."
And a lot of
it's like, we're gonna go plunder it and steal it. What? We won it already? No. Okay.
But to me, it was just the same old thing. It's just a boring award show that I really didn't care anything about. I was more interested.
They didn't even have much in like the exclusive trailers either.
No.
A couple of, but for overall, it's kind of like,
yeah.
That could just be more. There wasn't anything to show rather than anything to do with.
There was there was 13 trailers. Three of them were games that were brand new games, like Telltale's Tales of Borderlands. Nobody knew about that one. Hello Games.
I need to look that up because someone told me about it. I haven't seen anything on it, and I was like, "Why? Why would I want this from what they described?" So I don't really know.
I just watched the trailer. It just looks like a funnier version of Borderlands, with Telltale.
It's already a comedic game.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want Telltale to do Borderlands? Like,
I think it's a little more story driven.
It's already its own very unique thing. Why would you want Telltale's spin on it instead of letting Telltale do something else? Is like Gearbox tired of Borderlands?
It's
just, why does this exist? Kind of is what my thoughts on it so far. Again, not seeing anything on it.
It just seemed like it was a little more story driven than Borderlands. But
which is weird. Borderlands has many things, and it has a good thing as far as comedic storytelling within what it does.
Right.
But it's not about story so much as it's a loot game.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be
some comedic characters, but story wise, it's super strong suit. I mean, as far as comparing to other shooters and stuff, but if you're going to do like a story based game, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. it just seemed weird. The Game of Thrones game, they did announce it. There was no gameplay footage or anything of that. So.
That makes more sense because Game of Thrones is its rich universe. You could do some crazy stuff and it's kind of dark. So Telltale, especially having done Walking Dead, you could do some cool stuff.
Right.
That makes sense.
Oh, and that, I forgot to put that in the show notes. 17th is the first episode of Walking Dead Season 2 from Telltale. That's the Steam release date, is what everybody's saying. So
nice.
That'll be out before Christmas, which will be cool.
I'll probably wait till it's all out again.
Yeah.
Because I hate waiting in between episodes.
Yeah, I know. It's like I bought the Wolf Among Us, and it's like, okay, where's episode 2? I figured episode 2 would be out by now. Where's episode 2? So
takes time to make
I guess so.
Gotta wait.
Well, and I think, do they still have that deal for Walking Dead Season 2, 10% off in the Steam store if you pre-order?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't looked.
Probably.
I'm saying they probably do. But
$10 off.
Let's see.
10% off.
But they showed gameplay footage of Titanfall and Quantum Break, and both those games looked really good. Quantum Break looked really
awesome.
What did
Quantum Break look like? Because they had just shown kind of cutscene stuff before.
Yeah, it was all...
What does the actual gameplay look like?
It was kind of like the cutscenes. You could kind of freeze time and do this and that. I mean, it was really... You just have to go back and watch. You'll just have to see it. I mean, it's hard to explain. You just have to see it. It's kind of hard to explain, but I mean, it just looked really good. You know, and those are two Xbox exclusive games. Of course, Titanfall will be on PC. I don't think Quantum Break will. I'm not sure if it will or not. I haven't heard.
Is Quantum Break both next gen systems? I forget.
No, I think it's Remedy did it. So I think it's only Xbox. Remedy. So unfortunately, but
I hope it does really, really well, and then that means that they can make another Alan Wake game.
Yeah, I hope so too. But the one game that I saw on there I thought was really cool. It's Hello Games, the guy that did the Joe Danger games. It's called No Man's Sky. It's like it was weird because first you were swimming under the water on this planet. And there was all these crashed spaceships underwater and there was fish swimming around. And you come up on the land and there's this whole big planet with ships on it and buildings and everything like that. He walked the guy. It was third person or first person view. So then you walked up to the spaceship, got in the spaceship, took off, flew up into the air, and went into space and started into a space battle. And it just looks like a great big open world sci-fi game. And you can just do whatever the heck you want. If you want to land on the planet and do this and that. It looked really cool.
Is it kind of sort of more realistic or is it very cartoony, kind of like Joe Danger?
It kind of looked like a little mix of both. It almost looks cell-shaded, almost, but not fully.
Cool.
It was kind of weird because the planet you're on, it was so bright and colorful anyway, and it looked like it really wasn't really finished. So,
I'm sure it isn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not real polished or anything. So, but I mean, from what it looked like, it looked really cool. And it didn't say if it was going to be PC, if it was going to be, you know, next gen.
You might not even know yet.
I mean,
the way that goes sometimes.
I don't know. But whatever it's on, I want to buy it because it looked really cool.
Now, have they done any other big games, or have they just done Joe Danger-sized games before this?
I don't think they've done anything other than the Joe Danger games that I could remember. I'd have to look it up.
Because, like, Joe Danger is pretty well polished. Mm-hmm. They've done a few of those, but bigger games another thing, but that kind of also makes me excited because, one, they do know how to make games, so it's not going to be super terrible.
Right.
There's also that sort of risk that it's a little too big and it's going to be super buggy and they can't quite do it, but the fact that they haven't done a big game like that before means that they don't have a mindset already made, so they might do something different than what most people do. Kind of how, you know, like Batman Arkham Asylum came out of nowhere when it came out from somebody that's like, hey, wow, this is awesome. I hope it's that, because, man, a big open world space kind of game like that sounds awesome.
It looked awesome. I mean, it really did. It really looked awesome, so... I can't wait, and I don't even know if it's coming out this year or not, or 2014 or not. It didn't even say that. It just had it. It was weird because it didn't even say what company was making it. It just, when you watch the trailer, you're like, who is this? And you didn't find out until like later on IGN they had it posted who it actually was. So. The awards is all your usual things. Game of the Year, Grand Theft Auto, no big surprise. Studio of the Year, Naughty Dog, no big surprise.
What, not Rockstar? Come on.
Well, you know what I found funny was best PlayStation game was Last of Us. Best voice actors, male and female, were Last of Us. Studio of the Year was Naughty Dog. But Game of the Year was Grand Theft Auto.
And best soundtrack also.
Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, but all the other
which I don't think it should be soundtrack. It should be like scores, or they should have both.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Grand Theft Auto was good. Last of Us was good.
And I'm sorry, but soundtrack should be BioShock Infinite because that does so much cool stuff with music, like the score and taking sort of modern music. And their weird BioShock spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best things about that game.
Like I say, the
among many, because that game's awesome.
The girls just want to have fun with the little crank organ.
It took me so long to figure that out. And I was like, This sounds familiar. What is
going on?
Wait, is that what I think it is?
It was one of those where I just stood there going,
what is that?
This is
crazy.
Yeah, that was cool. But yeah, you know, well, whatever. I mean, they had a panel of people, and you could actually, on their website, you can actually see who's on that panel. I didn't even bother with it because I'm like, eh, whatever. Awards sometimes don't mean anything anyway. Pretty you can put on the box to say, we won 40 Game of the Year awards or something like that. But
yeah, well, I mean, in video games, there's nothing like the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the Academy Awards, a lot of people are like, yeah, well, whatever. But at least they've been around for so long and have that kind of prestige tied into it. And there's nothing, no equivalent. No, there's not even like, you know, the equivalent of a Golden Globes or anything like that in video games yet. Yeah. So it's kind of, do people care? And, you know, there's another thing. It's like, with video games, do people even care?
You know what? I don't even care about...
Some do.
I don't even care about awards anymore. I mean, you know, when I was, like, a teenager, that was all the thing. Oh, you know, we got to watch the VGAs. We got to watch the Academy Awards. We got to watch the Grammys. Now it's like, I don't care. I don't care if this movie was, you know, won Best Picture of the Year. I thought it was great. You know, it's like... I don't care. You know, it's like, but I don't always watch these movies that win movie of the year anyway. I mean, this week I watched The Wolverine, which was really good.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, it was actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I still haven't finished it yet, but yeah.
Because even if someone says, hey, it was better than the first Wolverine, well, I was like, well, that's not saying much. You got to tell me a little bit more than that.
No, it's like way better than the first one. Like, it could be, I would say, out of all the X-Men movies, it's probably number two or three on the list, maybe higher than that. I haven't finished it yet, so I haven't watched the ending of it, so that could hold, that could hold it all.
Well, it's going to be pretty good to beat First Class and X2.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's...
Those would be my two
favorites. Yeah, those are my two favorites, too. I'd say it's at least a third. It's at least behind those two.
I definitely want to see it. I just have to wait for Netflix to get it.
It was... Walmart up here had the... If you wanted the uncut version or the extended version, you had to buy it on 3D Blu-ray. And I was like... I don't have a 3D TV. I don't have a 3D Blu-ray player. I don't need it. Just give me the extended edition. But no. So Walmart was the cheapest. They had it for $27. When the girl rang it up, it was actually $24. So I was like, okay, I can justify that then. So, you know, I don't know. I usually end up buying them all, even if they're terrible anyway, just to have them. So, but anyway. Going on with the news. I did not get one of these survey emails from Ubisoft, but apparently some people did, and it was a survey asking them what they wanted to see in the next Assassin's Creed game. But one of the most interesting questions on it was, do you think Assassin's Creed 4 could have been a whole franchise by itself? Pirates only, not assassins. So, gee, I wonder what that means. No. Well,
we're gonna have a spin-off.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah, well, you know, the whole thing,
the game as is, no. Could they have somewhere mid-development changed it to make just a pirate game?
Yeah, I guess.
But it's still so tied into it. It's such an Assassin's Creed game just because of the structure of it. Even if they didn't have the kind of modern-day tie-in that all the Assassin's Creed games have, even without that, and they had it just in the time period and just had all this pirate stuff,
and
just the way that all the cities are laid out and you're climbing around, that way you control that game, all the collectibles, all that is very much Assassin's Creed.
You know what, though? I like how they've done the modern day stuff in Assassin's Creed 4. There's a lot less of
different.
It, and it's not specifically, you know, you are this character and these are his memories. It's more of a, now it's, it's kind of like what they did with...
Plus, it's a little different because it's first person, too, so that's a lot.
Well, Assassin's Creed Liberation on the Vita was like that. It wasn't a certain person's memories or stuff. It was a company that said, hey, if you want to have this adventure, you know, you can come in, we can hook your brain up to this, and you can have these
adventures. And boy, does Ubisoft love Liberation in AC4. Mm-hmm. You first get to the, like, you know, the first mission over, and you get to the modern day thing.
Don't spoil it for me.
It's not a spoiler.
They have this, like, you're walking into the place, and then there's like a big screen on the wall that just has like a big thing about liberation, and the character you're following actually stops and talks about it for a bit. And then there's other little incidental things you'll find later about, like, if you bother, you don't, like, it's optional kind of looking around for collectible stuff that sort of ties into that. And I was like, I wonder if they like this game or not.
Well, and if you buy the PlayStation 4 or 3 version, there's a whole, the whole extra hour of gameplay is a story about her. So, you know, and they're bringing it out next month. It'll be out on PlayStation 3, the HD version of it. And it was great on the Vita. I have it on the Vita, so.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot, surprisingly. I was not expecting to at all. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. I don't know. It would depend on how they would do the pirate game. You know, just on the boats and the settings and stuff, no, it probably wouldn't make a good game on its own. Because you're right, with all the other Assassin's Creed stuff, the collecting and the story and the this and that. But I don't know. It'd be...
Well, yeah, just the way they have it, you know, set up, it is totally an Assassin's Creed game. Right. Just because of the structure, it shares that, you know, framework.
Yeah. It would.
So if they'd wanted to do something different, they could have. They didn't.
Right. And I agree. So we'll see, though. But it would not surprise me if they don't, if they spin off something on it. I mean, I would not be surprised at all. Some kind of pirate game.
Well, the way that they've got this set up, they could spin off whatever the heck they want and still call it Assassin's Creed.
That's true. They could.
That's kind of the way this is with as far as the modern day conceit to it. They've changed it up in this one enough that they can totally do whatever they wanted. Do spin-off games, do, you know, core games, and it would all still relate.
Exactly. Yep, you're right. I'm going to skip this one. We'll save that one to last. Destiny finally got its release date, which, yay, it's just funny. It just happens to be the release date of the Dreamcast, September 9th.
Yay!
Yeah, of 2014.
The Dreamcast. Yeah.
Remember,
okay.
The Dreamcast was released on 9/9/99. So this one's going to be released on 9/9/14. So, I mean, it's not the same year, but it's the same day that the Dreamcast was released on.
They're going back in time.
Yeah, no. I looked at it. And I'm like, oh, now that date's going to have two meanings.
Really. I'm sure that there have been many things released on a September 9th since.
Oh, then. I'm sure they has. But that's cool.
Even in games.
I know the beta is going to start this summer. It'll come to PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 first, and then it'll go on to Xbox One and PC and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's like, have they actually said PC yet?
You know what? I don't think they have, actually. I guess they haven't. I guess they've only said consoles. Yeah.
Because, you know, at least at this point, it'd be like, I want it on PC, because that's the most powerful thing I have right now, since I don't have a PS4 or an Xbox One or anything.
It'll be on PC.
I definitely want to play Destiny, because it looks like a lot of fun. At least the potential for it is, you know, it could turn out to be crap, but what they've shown off so far is like, I'm excited, I want to see what it turns into.
I had got one of the codes, so I've already applied it on my Bungie account for the beta, so it's just now I'm just waiting for summer to get here, so... whenever they decide to launch it. So I'm hoping it'll be cool. It looks cool. I mean, it looks really cool. I'm very excited for it. So, but it'll be a good September game too. You know, I figured it'd come out September, October, November, somewhere around there, in time for Christmas, of course. So, because you got to have those big games at Christmas. You can't put them out any other time. The next story I found kind of interesting. IGN ran an article the other day that Nintendo... claims that fan campaigns and petitions have no impact on their business directions or decisions at all, which that is apparent.
Duh. Like, I'm sorry, but fan campaigns have no impact on pretty much any big corporate
company. You look at what the Xbox One did when it came out. Yeah, and it came out, and they were like, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and companies said, oh, that's terrible, and players said, oh, that's terrible, and then they totally retracted most of it and changed it around. But, you know, it's...
The reason, I think, is because of all the stuff about supposed pre-orders and stuff, and it was just a big groundswell of negativity their way, not just from a petition or anything.
That's true. Well, you're absolutely right.
It was just kind of everywhere, so that's why they changed stuff up, versus, oh, there's a petition that's like, oh, I want Zelda... be this next time, or I want, you know, this game, or I want you to do this to that game. They don't care. They care what's going to change their actual, you know, how much money they get, and most petitions and fan campaigns are not big enough to matter. They're just kind of a minority of people most of the time.
You're right. It could be. But, you know, sometimes when you're a company like Nintendo, sometimes it does not hurt to listen to what fans want, you know.
Well,
they're doing all right right now. They've got at least some good stuff out there with the new Mario and Zelda stuff out.
Where's my online games?
Finally. Jeez. Well, that's true, too. But look how long it took them to come. You know, that's the thing.
That's true. That's not any different. What I've seen that people have said that's kind of rings true is this is kind of like the GameCube again, where it's even more than the Wii. You only want Nintendo games for this, except the only difference is now they're even slower than they were on GameCube.
What were you going to say, Eric?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, maybe this kind of reminds me of the Wii when they were like, oh, gamers don't want to play online and stuff like that. They're not, I don't know if, I think they understand the industry, but they may not, I don't know, maybe they just don't understand the mainstream industry sometimes.
Personally, I don't care because that's not what Nintendo does. In Nintendo's style of games, online co-op, it could be cool for a few things, but for the most part, that's not where their stuff is designed for.
Plus them,
like, the only online, like Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, that stuff that's competitive kind of fits there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, Nintendo, the style of games they make is more for local playing with people in the same room rather than online. You'd lose a bit. Now, could they add it in and be fun? Sure. But I don't know. Nintendo just doesn't seem to think, you know, they don't want to change in a lot of respects, including this one.
I don't know.
They want to, stick
good
around.
Good or bad,
right,
you know, that's just kind of that's Nintendo at this point.
And I'm all for tried and true. But you know, the Wii U came out a year ago. Has it been a year almost? And
yeah, it was about
and
a
you
year.
Haven't heard. You, little yeah, and they never really pushed it. They never really did anything. But now all of a sudden, the new consoles come out, and all I have seen over Thanksgiving was commercials for, "Hey, this is an upgrade. Let's upgrade." I'm like, well, maybe if you'd pushed it a year ago like this, you'd be in a better position than what you are now, and we would have some more of these games, and you'd have publishers wanting to do stuff on your console. Because I'd like to have a Wii U. I really would. The 3D Mario game that just came out looks really cool. And of course, the Zelda game, the remake, looks really awesome. But I don't know.
My only issue is that they don't have the games. Mm-hmm. They're not pushing that. As far as not having this certain feature or whatever, I don't care quite as much just because they do different stuff. And again, Nintendo's not trying to compete with Sony or Microsoft directly.
That's true.
They're doing different things. Even if they had a console that power-wise did the same things as those, Nintendo's not going to make the same kind of games. So that's not what I'm looking for from Nintendo.
Right.
Could they do a lot of things better? Yeah. But
I just look at their look at the 3DS and the games that it has on the 3DS, and I'm like, why can't you do that on the Wii U?
Well, it'll happen eventually because 3DS, remember, when it launched, it was terrible.
That's true.
And it took a while to get started and rolling there, and then when it finally did, it snowballed a bit where they got a couple games that people wanted, so more people were buying systems, so they're putting out more games for it, and I think it'll do the same for the Wii U, maybe not to the same degree,
right?
But it'll happen. They'll start pushing some more stuff, because like this next year they're going to have Smash Brothers and a Mario Kart, and they'll probably have more stuff towards the end of the year as well, hopefully.
Yeah. I'll get one someday.
We'll see.
I mean,
it's probably going to be Zelda for me eventually.
Right.
Be like, oh, I want one.
When that new Zelda comes. New Zelda.
I need to have it.
That, or if they freaking let Retro Studios make another Metroid game instead of freaking Donkey Kong stuff that, yes, it looks good and yes, it's cool, but that's not what I want from them. They do, like, that's kind of like simple sauce
for
them.
Absolutely right.
You know? They make it look pretty now, but yay, so what?
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Let them do. Just imagining, you know, how great that Metroid Prime was back in the day and how good it looks on the GameCube and what they could do now, doing sort of even last-gen, quote-unquote, graphics. It's like, it'd still be HD and it'd be Metroid and it'd be awesome.
You're right.
I want that. Let me have that.
I do, too. I really do, too. And, all right, last story I wanted to save because I figured that you would know a lot about it. Nathaniel, because I have not played.
I
have not played Battlefield Online. I've played very little of the campaign. But DICE said that they were not developing a new Battlefield for 2014. That doesn't surprise me.
They didn't say that. That's a misnomer.
Oh, okay.
But they never were going to anyway.
Right.
So it's silly.
Yeah. Well, they.
It's kind of an on story for me.
They
like,
never do. But
they haven't made one ever.
No, they. They've never done it year to year. That's exactly what I was going to say. And they also, at the moment, they said they've halted all future projects until Battlefield 4 issues are fixed. Now, what exactly issues are there? Because, like I say, I have not played it online, so I
since release, it's been very buggy, crashes a lot. Like, they've had a ton of server crashes. They had a lot of client crashes where your game would crash, which is annoying, but a little less so because at least you keep your stats. Right. With the server crashed, then you lost all your progress in that match. So if you were playing a whole big, huge, high-ticket conquest match and you've been playing for 30 minutes and it crashes right before the end, you get none of that. So that was very annoying for people. That's pretty much gone by now. Like, it still happens every tiny once in a while, but for most part, the server crashes have been fixed. Game crashes, it still happens some. They've put out several patches for it, still haven't quite erased it, at least on PC. Now, there was a whole bunch on, you know, PS4 and Xbox One, a lot of crashing and stuff. They've put out a patch for PS4 recently, and then the Xbox and current gen ones are coming sometime early this week, I think. Now, I haven't heard if that's actually helped it a lot or not. I don't know. Well, and then, you know, they have China Rising just came out, which some people were like, ooh, but I'm like, come on, dude. They were pretty much finished with that already. They're going to put it out. Right. There's no reason not to. No, there's been some problems with that, with some of the things, introducing some new bugs, but that's just mostly like, hey, here's a new map, someone found a glitch spot on it, like, that's going to happen regardless of other problems or not. But there's also a thing that, the one-shot kill bug, is it's been kind of dubbed in the community, where there's like two parts to it, and they fixed one, where they fixed something with the last patch with it that it was something with the far how the game was actually handling it. But then there's like a server-side issue or something where it's not lag, but something's causing it to register stuff twice. So you shoot one bullet, kind of counts as two sometimes. So they're still working on that kind of a thing. You know, it's annoying because you're getting sort of one-shotted really quickly. Oh, yeah. And it shouldn't be sometimes, but it's not all the time either. So a lot of this stuff is hit or miss on whether it affects you, because it'll happen sometimes and then it won't happen, or just as far as crashing goes, especially on PC with all the different, you know, hardware out there. Man. That some people like me, I've had, you know, not too many issues. Yeah, I've had some crashes, but I know some of my friends have just like crashed all the time and it's gotten better. So they're working on it. So this whole story is just basically like, okay, all of it's kind of them trying to sound good, but it's not really super huge deal because, like, all the DLC that would be from now on out is so far out that they wouldn't be working on it. I mean, they would be, but halting it isn't that huge of a deal. Like, the next DLC wasn't going to be coming out until sometime springtime, I think. I'd have to look at the calendar. So it's just kind of them saying, hey, we are working on this, we want to make it right, which is cool, and they're saying all the right things. Right. So they're just taking all the people who would have been working on that just to get more manpower. So instead of working on DLC, they're working on fixes for the game to make it more stable. Because that's kind of the big issue right now, is like every platform has stability issues where it's crashing and all this stuff, that they want to get that fixed so that people can play and not be so annoyed.
Well, the server things really surprised me. I mean,
for the most part, and I don't know about console-wise, those is all official DICE servers right now, from what I understand. They don't have the rent-a-server thing in yet, again, which they're going to do eventually, but they haven't done it yet. PC, it's all rented servers anyway. There's no such thing as official server for that. It's all, like, they have official settings, and it's mostly a bunch of different places that rent PC servers for all sorts of games. Have your servers that you rent, and you can put out whatever settings, and so people have official settings, or you have kind of close to official, you have your completely wacky ones that aren't ranked, and you can run the whole gamut, basically, and you have to search for them all. That's just kind of how PCs is, so it's not really any different.
A buddy of mine was playing on PS3, and he was talking about how, you know, the servers would crash, and he'd lose all his ranked, or it wouldn't get saved, or this and that. And I'm like, you know, it really surprises me with as much beta as they had. You know, you'd think that the server things would be fixed. But I guess if you add in a bunch of servers, you know, you don't get to fully test.
Even with a beta, the load isn't nearly as what it is. This seems like it's something to do with how it's set up in the code, because if their official servers were up and fine all the time and it was just other people's setups, maybe you'd think it was some weird difference in hardware or something, but all the servers are going. So it's something in the code that they had to track down. And at least for me, it seemed to have gotten better from me and my circle of friends, but I don't know much as far as the console side. I've got some that are on there, and they seem to be playing all the time. Still get some crashes, but I don't know. It seems like it's going in a better direction. Hopefully they get it all nailed down. But within a game as big as this, it's so complicated that even, you know, working with the whole company on it, it could take a little bit.
Well, and that's why I hadn't...
There's always going to be issues.
Well, and that's why I hadn't played it online, was because there were so many issues. I thought, well, you know, I'll just wait. Plus, I'm playing Assassin's Creed.
Go ahead and play it. It's not as bad as they say it is. For the most part, you can, you know, you'll still have fun. Like, I've been playing recently, like, on it. I was doing, right before Shadow Rising came out, I was doing, they had, like, because of all these issues, they did player appreciation something earlier where they gave us a scope for a pistol, and then it was like a week or a little more of double XP. So with that, I was playing double XP, and then I put on the boosts that you get, so it's like getting so much points for stuff. I used it, went to pistols only servers, and unlocked all my pistols. Because otherwise it would take forever, because the way you play that game in the modes I played, like the big conquest modes or rush or something, you're using your primary weapon, and you'll pull it out if you run out of ammo in a pinch and you need to shoot it so you don't get as many kills with it. And if you went, you know, pistol only, you die pretty quickly. Exactly. So go to a pistol only server on Operation Locker, which is kind of the metro of this game, although it's a bit bigger than metro and has many more routes. It is a lot of fun playing pistols only. I gotta tell you that.
That's cool.
Like, if you just want something different, find a pistols only server if it exists. I don't know if it would on console quite yet until they do the render server stuff, but go in there and everybody's using pistols and you're running around, sneaking around behind a bunch of guys and shooting them with your pistol, and they turn around. You can dodge stuff a bit more than you can just because, I don't know, people are less accurate.
Yeah.
And or some of the pistols don't cause quite as much damage as your primary, so it's just, I don't know, a lot of fun. It's a different thing to do.
Cool. Well, I'll have to check it out this week. I need to get into it.
But yeah, with the double XP and the XP boost, it didn't take me that long at all to unlock them. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's cool. I need to try it out because, like I said, I've barely played a little bit of the campaign, and I haven't played it all online. But now that somebody on PlayStation 4 has a PlayStation 4, maybe they're going to get the game and I have somebody to play with that I know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't like to get in a room and be the only one being sucky. So, you know, I like to.
Good. I'll just
there you go. That's right. You can have at it because I'm terrible at them. So.
Nah. Plus, you won't be. Be interesting to know if there's like private chat, like you, if you party up with somebody and play a multiplayer game, it'd be kind of cool. Maybe there's squad chat.
Maybe, I don't know. Like I say, I haven't even messed with the chat thing on the PS4. So.
PC's different, but PC this time has in-game chat, but it's like just for your squad, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you have your that, but I'm playing with friends. We're on like TeamSpeak or something, so it's. I'm not sure how the console stuff works. I know most of my friends are playing on Xbox One, and they're having issues with the party system on that, mostly because of the Xbox's fault, where like they have to do a party before they start the game, otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah, there's some weird thing with that. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
I need to go over to my buddy's house. I think he finally broke open his Xbox One. He's been sitting on it for like 2 weeks. I don't know why. He never even broke it out. So I need to go over and try it out. I want to look at it. It sounds cool. So.
But yeah, they're all having fun with it. And people I play with on PC were having fun with it. So I know there are issues with Battlefield 4, but not enough to completely ruin it or anything. At least in my experience.
Well, I knew who to go to.
Yes, it's got lots of issues, and yes, they should fix it, but it's still very playable, at least right now.
Well, I knew who to talk to, so.
Yeah, a little bit
went of fun. Went to the, just a tad. But that's good. I like to have my guys that know things, so. I like to have my inside people. All right. Well, I'll put this down in anything else. Week one of Sony's PSN holiday sale is up. There's some kind of cool sales on there this week. It'll be this week. Next week's will be different, but I don't know if these will still be on sale after Tuesday or not. The Ni No Kuni game for $9.79 if you're a PlayStation Plus member is a outstanding deal. If you like...
Is that still a full-priced game?
No, it's $40. I think it went down to $40 or $20.
I was going to say, if it was like a $60 game down to $10, that's insane.
I want to say it went down to $25 or $30. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. I think it went greatest hits. But still, I mean, $10 for the 40-hour-plus game is pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Even 15 is not bad.
No. The one that I thought was really funny was Defiance is $2.50 if you're a PlayStation Plus member. So,
yeah, that worked out just how they wanted it to.
Yeah, I think so.
That price is going. Yeah,
but
that makes me happy, actually, because I wanted the game to fail so that the TV show wouldn't have to, like, do all the tie-in stuff because it was It was like, that was the problem with those. Like, it was a cool idea, but it makes both sides suffer for having to tie into
the game. You know what's bad is I have the entire season one on the DVR. I have not watched a single episode of it yet. So
it's not bad. It's not the best show ever, but it's got some cool stuff in it. I'm looking forward to the second season of it. I think it's a spring game.
Well, I was going to sit down and watch it over the summer, or over, I think last month I was going to sit down and watch it, and I ended up watching the entire first season of Arrow.
It's very good as well.
Yeah, it is. And I was like, you know what? This is surprisingly good. Why the heck didn't I watch this last year when it was on TV?
I'm caught up with the current season, and we've got one more episode, and this past week was, you know, part one of mid-season finale, and I was like,
Did you see the episode with what's his name, who's going to be the Flash?
Well, yes,
I forget his name. Barry Allen. Yeah. Oof, boy, I couldn't remember that.
If they don't do what I'm hoping they do, then I'll be like, what have you been doing, these little hints that you've been dropping the entire season?
What did you do wrong?
Every single episode, they've had something about Starling City Particle Collider or something.
Yeah, something like that.
There's news reports playing or whatever in the background, or someone mentions it, and it's like, if you're not using that now that you've brought Barry Allen in, and there's going to be some incident in this final episode, then I don't know what you're doing.
It's a very cool show. I really like it. I'm surprisingly like it, so...
The season two is pretty awesome because they're bringing in a lot more DC stuff. Like, it's a lot more of the comic references are coming in this one, whereas first season is pretty much just Green Arrow stuff. Yeah. Whereas season two, they're starting to bring in, like, League of Assassins.
Yeah, and you kind of heard in the first season, they kind of mentioned it a couple times, you know, League of Assassins.
Yeah, but they're doing it a bit more.
I just added that show on Netflix. I'm gonna have to
sit down and watch it. You'll like it. If you like Batman, DC stuff.
If you like superheroes. Yeah.
It's kind of like their current Smallville. If Smallville was a little bit darker and less goofy, that's kind of
this is. You're exactly right.
And it's really good. It's one of my favorite shows that are on right now.
I'll be honest with you, Eric. I watched like half of the first episode, the pilot episode, and went, meh. And I didn't watch it for like 6 or 7 months. And then I went back, and everybody was saying, no, watch it. Just give it, you know, 2 or 3 episodes.
The pilot is pretty good, but it's the second episode is a whole lot better than the pilot. The pilot suffers a bit from voiceover syndrome, and they continue that a little bit in the first season, but they drop it pretty quickly.
But give it an episode or two after, you know, the pilot, and then an episode or two, and you'll get hooked in it, because then it got to the point where I start watching like 2 or 3 a night.
Once they get about halfway through the first season and they bring in a couple of the other characters that become main characters by season two, especially Felicity.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, she shows up a little bit into the first season. Like, once they get kind of the core team around the hero, like, kind of these are the people who know who he is, and get that set up, it's like, okay, now they've kind of got their footing, know what they're doing, and it's really, really good. Is. I think they did a good job casting that show, because it's all... like pretty much unknown people, but they all do really good as far as, you know, they were picked well for their roles.
And welcome to the Arrow Hour, where we talk about the Arrow show on the CW. We got off on another one. That's what we've done tonight.
The funny thing is that show is they have some random guy who shows up in halfway through the first season. He's in the second season as well, as kind of like this punk kid from the wrong side of the towns, which then later I'd seen Arrow, and then I started watching Teen Wolf, and he's like the same kind of like punky, like stuck up character, other than that one he's more like the rich kid side, but it's like, wait a minute, I know
it's
that.
It's funny though, watching him as the junkie from the wrong side of the track, I'm like, you're too pretty, I can't buy this.
Well, it's a CW
I know, but
show.
It was just funny.
You've got to respect the level of
it was just hilarious. He's too pretty. I can't take him seriously as like this, you know, I'm from the wrong side of the tracks kind of guy.
He's not. He's all right.
But getting back to the sale, if you're interested in buying Final Fantasy 15 Realm Reborn, buy it on, or 14, sorry. If you buy it on PS3, remember, you'll get a digital upgrade to the PlayStation 4 version for free. So if you have a PS3 and a PS4 and you're wanting to play that game, go ahead and buy it for $10 if you're a PlayStation Plus member, because you'll get the PlayStation 4 version for free. So that's a good deal.
So that not just if you had a PlayStation 4, you can't just directly
You can,
buy it?
But you pay like $40 for it or however much it is. I don't know how much it's going to be. They haven't said, but I know it's going to be.
Well, if you have a PS4, can you just trick it to buy a PS3?
Yes, because what you could do is you can actually go. You can do it through the store online and buy the PlayStation 3 version, and they'll still give you the PlayStation 4 version. You know, when it comes out, because they'll send you a code for it. So all you have to do is just set up an account, which is not that hard. You can do it all online. You don't have to go into the PlayStation 3 game to do it. So. But that's something else. You know, if anybody out there is wanting it, then free upgrade to the PlayStation 4 version for cheap. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Go watch Arrow. I guess
watch Teen Wolf too, just because that show's weird. Because I didn't know where, because I saw it on Netflix first. Yeah. I didn't know it aired on MTV.
Yeah, I'd read somewhere that it aired on MTV, and that's kind of like that was the whole reason why I didn't pay any
attention.
It's
surprisingly
good
too. Someone told me, like, you need to watch this because you like these other shows. You'll love it. And I was like, really? Mm. Okay. And I watched it. I was like, I love this show. It's so good.
MTV. I don't know. I feel dirty watching it. I'm not, a Kardashian or a Jersey Shore thing. So what's up with that?
Well, I didn't know that at the time. I just watched it on
Netflix. That's why I watch things on Netflix. I don't usually watch them on Netflix unless it's something that I know I can't watch on Netflix. So. But all right, cool. Eric, you want to close us out like you always do, and we'll get out of here.
Sure, you can email us at goosernationpodcast@gmail.com. You can call us at 206-202-5704. You can follow us on Twitter at goosern_podcast. I, Eric, am at cube00. That's KUBE00. John is at JCMeadows94, and Nathaniel is at Polygon_wizard. And you can check out the site, GooserNation.com, for news, editorials, and reviews.
All right. Sounds cool. Well, guys, we appreciate everybody for listening. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher Radio as well. And there's also it streams on the GooserNation.com website as well, if you want to catch it there. We should be back next week, if all goes well, weather permitting. we appreciate you listening. We'll catch you guys next time. Have a good week.
See you later.
Tune in next time for more CW.
Yay!
Go watch Arrow.